be shaken. We will not be moved. For the Lord is beside us. With Him we cannot lose. The shadows surround us. We will fear no evil. Trust in the Lord with our hearts, and in your joy we will dwell forever. Though the night may seem weary, joy is coming, coming, coming in the morning. All praise to King Jesus. I know joy is coming. Though the night may seem weary, coming, coming in the morning. All praise to King Jesus. I know joy is coming. Trust in the Lord with our hearts, and in your joy we will dwell forever. Though the night may seem weary,
joy is coming.
Joy is coming, coming, coming.
Thank you, Jesus.
All praise to King Jesus. I know joy is coming. Though the night may seem weary, joy is coming, coming, coming in the morning. All praise to King Jesus. I know joy is coming. Yes, joy is coming.
Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, God.
Your light can drown out darkness and bring our joy to life. We won't submit to sorrow. Our joy is coming in the morning.
Your light can drown out darkness and bring our joy
to life.
We won't submit to sorrow. Our joy is coming in the morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the morning.
Everybody testify.
Your light can drown out darkness and bring our joy to life. We won't submit to sorrow. Our joy is coming in the morning.
In the morning.
In the morning.
Jesus.
We won't submit to sorrow. Our joy is coming in the morning. In the morning.
Though the night may seem weary,
the night may seem weary, joy is coming, coming, coming in the morning.
All praise to Jesus.
All praise to King Jesus.
I know joy is coming.
I know joy is coming.
Yes, joy is on the way.
Joy is coming.
Though the night is weary,
though the night may seem weary, joy is coming, coming, coming in the morning.
We praise to Jesus.
All praise to King Jesus. I know joy is coming. Joy is
good morning. You can be seated this morning. It is July. We are on lesson 3 of our series 2. And our series this month is called John's I am sayings. It's a weird way, some weird English there. But essentially what, in the book of John, John's telling the story of his time with Jesus and everything that happened there. And there's multiple times where John picks out and he quotes where Jesus said, I am, insert whatever it is here, right? I am the vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the door to the sheep, right? There's a lot of I am sayings. And I think it's interesting, if we go back a little bit here, early on in the Bible, in Exodus, right, the people of Israel, they are, we go way back. Abraham, God calls Abraham, and you're going to be a great nation, even warns them you're going to end up in slavery, right? And so all the Israelites, just dozens and dozens and dozens of them are in Egypt in slavery, and God calls Moses and says, I want you to go speak to my people. Now, Moses was raised kind of in Egypt, right? Maybe that's why he asked, but he's like, what am I, who am I supposed to say is coming, is telling me, is sending me, right? And God said in Exodus 3, 14, it says, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. And at this point, I'm probably, as I'm Moses, being like, well, that's not any clearer. Thanks, God, right? But what God was saying is, I am and I will be. I am present no matter when or where. I am God, right? And then what's interesting is then Jesus comes to earth, and we're John 8, verse 58. They're asking him all this stuff about, are you the Messiah, blah, blah, blah. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And so now we have the God of the Old Testament saying, you can call me I am. And then Jesus comes to the New Testament, this, what some people try to claim is a second God. He comes to this New Testament and they say, are you claiming all this? He goes, before Abraham was, I am. And so now Jesus is claiming to be God. He's like, I'm not just this second person. I am that same God that was before Abraham. What I like about God's Word for Life is it's a Bible study. There's like a theme that we have for the month, and then we have a series, and you'll see the theme represented through each of the lessons, even in all the other classes. But I think you all and I would be amiss if this was just the only Bible study we had every week, right? Hopefully, when we listen to Pastor Jess or Pastor Jerry or Pastor Phil or myself, hopefully it's not just that was a good lesson. Hopefully we're saying, wow, I can see how we study God's Word, or at least the beginnings of it. And hopefully this is spurring you to go home and study God's Word for yourself. Because just something simple like I am, you could just go Google that. I'm cheating for you here, right? I'm not even telling you about a concordance yet. You could just Google the I am sayings in the Bible, and you'd get Exodus 3:14. You'd get all these times in Isaiah when the prophet's talking about the coming Messiah. I am. They mention it there. You're going to get it in other prophetic, prophecies. You're going to see it when Jesus comes to earth. And then you're going to see it in Revelations. So just a simple phrase, you could say, that's interesting to me. And so how does this work? None of this is in the lesson. I'm trying to encourage us here to get into God's Word because that's the purpose here. The purpose is not for me to teach to you all the time, but also for you to learn how to teach yourself, right? And so you're reading the Bible someday, and you're skimming through it, and it's super boring, and there's not much there, and all of a sudden there's just a phrase that catches you. Remember last Wednesday I taught about compassion? All I was doing was reading the Bible. And after about 2 weeks of reading through Matthew and Mark, I'm like, why does it keep saying Jesus had compassion? That was all it was, and I started looking. I use the concordance, but Google works just as well. Okay, to start, right? I highly recommend the concordance because you get to understand some Greek and Hebrew definitions. But all I said was, I wonder what's going on here. And you start, and all of a sudden the Word of God starts to open up. And you're like, wow, this isn't just the word compassion in the verse in Matthew. This is a theme. This is part of who God is. This is what he's bestowed to me. This is what I'm supposed to bestow to others. Like, wow. That's called revelation. That's what happens when we dig into God's Word. So I want to encourage you today that Don't leave and say, that was a great Bible study, or that was a good Bible study, or that was a bad Bible study. Leave and say, wow, as I'm reading, I can study God's word too. Because God's word for life is God's word for life for you as well. All right. So, the I am sayings in John. This week, we are talking about the I am saying found in John 14:6. We'll start there with our verse, John 14:6. And Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The truth about God for our lives this morning is that Jesus is the only way to God in heaven. Okay, I'm cheating. If you remember nothing, remember this. Jesus is the only way to God in heaven, and for me, I will seek Jesus as the only way, the only truth, and my source of eternal life. So, John 14, we read in verse 6. We're going to go back to verse 1 here in just a minute, Sister Raquel. John 14 occurs after the events of John 13. I'm not going to read all of John 13, but essentially, John 13, Jesus tells all his disciples, hey, one of you is going to betray me. He says, hey, I'm going to be leaving you soon. He says, and when I leave, you can't come with me. Oh, and by the way, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. Now, these three men, there's these 12 men who have been following Jesus for 3 years, are now being told that one of them is going to betray him. He's going to be leaving. They can't come with him. And Peter, the best disciple, clearly, was going to deny him. And that's chapter 13. And so Jesus probably realizes these words would be shocking to them, maybe even induce a little anxiety. Whoa, 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 was this all a waste? We've been following this guy. What in the world? For 3 years they'd been with him. They've accepted him as the Messiah. They've accepted him as God come to earth in the form of man to rescue them, even if they didn't understand how he was going to do it. And so Jesus starts John 14 this way. John 14, verse 1. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He's just trying to calm them down. Yeah, I know I freaked you out there in chapter 13. He didn't know it was going to be chapter 13. Well, he did, but they didn't. Chapter 13, don't be troubled. I am God in the flesh. You believe in God, believe also in me. In verse 2, it says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, when I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you, if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself. We're going to talk about the oneness of God a little bit this morning, okay? I go away to prepare a place for you. I come again to take you back to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. He didn't say, I'm going to go to my Father's. I mean, he said those words, but he didn't say, I go to this place with my Father. The two of us are going to work on this, and then I'll send the Holy Spirit. I'll stay up in heaven, and then he'll bring you to me, and there'll be a little handoff. Well, I'll shake his hand. Hey, Holy Spirit, dap him up. How you doing? Good to see you. Thanks for bringing Brother Marv up here. Right? No. He said, I go. I will come again, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. What we know in the Bible, one thing we're starting to see here is that who Jesus is and why he came is directly related to heaven. Why Jesus came is directly related to heaven. Everything about his coming was to prepare a place for us to live by his side for eternity. He had that place in Eden, and we ruined it. You can blame Adam and Eve, but we would all have done the same thing. He said, I want a place to live with my people forever. And so Jesus coming to earth was all about heaven, was all about this permanent place with him. But sin, thank you Adam and Eve and us, makes that impossible. So Jesus had to come. He had to come as a sacrifice and defeat the power of sin. But he did that both as we're converted, as we're baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, right, and repenting. But he did it also every day. Every day that we sin, the power of what Jesus did on the cross has an impact on our lives. If we are constantly pursuing heaven, we will miss it. But if we are pursuing Jesus, we will obtain heaven and much more. We have to start looking at Jesus and heaven being something that are connected, right? We're not trying to get to heaven to the pearly gates. We're trying to get to Jesus. And the person in heaven is Jesus, right? Verse 4, you know the way to where I am going. And then Thomas in verse 5 says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And here's our key verse. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We spent the entire last year talking about this verse, so it's kind of ironic that it ends up on mine. On my day, so you guys get to hear me talk about it again. John 14, as we start at 1 and we just keep reading, we're going to go past 6, but John 14, Jesus is clearly revealing the oneness of God. We see in John 14, 9 through 11 that he reveals himself as the Father. Let's read it. John 14, verse 9. Jesus said to him, I have been among you all this time, and you do not know me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who lives in me does this works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe of the works themselves. Jesus is saying, if you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. Well, where's the Father? God, we're hearing about this Father. Guys, that's just a phrase. It makes sense more to people, but I'm telling you, that's me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Don't go looking for the Father. You've seen me, that's enough. Knowing Jesus is the same as knowing the Father. Seeing Jesus is the same as seeing the Father because Jesus was God in human flesh. John 14, 14, it says, he also then says, I have all the power of God. It says, he said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He didn't say, if you ask anything to the Father, he'll do it. He didn't say, I'll double check with the other guy. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We're starting to see that everything revolves around one name, one individual, and that's Jesus. Jesus is connected to heaven. Jesus is God. But he doesn't just reveal himself as God, as the Father in John 14. In John 14, verse 16 and 17, we'll go back forward a little bit, and it says this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him, but you know him because he remains with you and will be in you. At first reading here, it seems like Jesus is like, hey, by the way, there's a third God I want to tell you all about, or a second God. This is kind of what it looks like. I've always complained about the Bible. I wish there was different phraseologies used. And I wish there was different phraseologies used because the entire Old Testament, there's one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. The whole thing. And then all of a sudden we get to the New Testament and they start using fathers and sons. But even Jesus is saying, hey, I am the Father. And he's saying, hey, I'm going to leave you, but the Spirit of truth is coming, a comforter, a counselor, the Holy Spirit. No one can see him. The world doesn't know him, but you do know him. Now, there's a comma there, but let's add an extra, let's sneak some stuff in here. But you do know him. And Peter, the disciple, goes, no, this is the first time you mentioned him. This is me, right? This is what I, no, Jesus, I'm sorry to interrupt. This is the first time you've mentioned this, him. I'm not understanding what you're talking about here. No. You said you're sending a comforter, a counselor, a spirit. This is confusing. Who are you? And he goes, you do know him because he remains with you. I'm still here. And will be in you. In John 14, verse 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. So sometimes we read that verse, it's like, oh, the Holy Spirit, we're talking about this third or the second or however you want to go about it. But Jesus is like, hold on, I got to clarify again in verse 18. I am coming to you. It's just going to be in a different form. Don't be troubled. I am coming back to comfort you, but it won't be like you see me now. That's what Jesus is saying. He kind of scared them a little bit. Yeah, there's going to be some really rough times coming, and you're all probably going to make some bad decisions that you're going to regret and be ashamed of. But don't be troubled, because even though I'm leaving and you're going to make mistakes, I am still coming back. It's just going to look different. Get used to different. It's going to look a little bit different. It's not going to be me in my whatever I'm wearing and my sandals and my beard walking around being like, hey, guys, you know, it's been said, or the parable. Instead, I'm going to be living inside of you, which is probably still rocking the worlds. But the context here is clear that Jesus was describing the future manifestation by which he would appear to them. It wouldn't be like it was now. It would be different. He would come and live inside of them. And so in just a few short verses in John 14, Jesus has revealed himself as the visible manifestation of the Father and the Holy Spirit with all power in his name. He's saying, I'm the Father. I'm going to be the Spirit that comes to you. And I have all power. All power is in my name. The revelation of the centrality of Jesus is important in our pursuit of God and everything he has to offer us. Everything points to Jesus. Everything in the Bible points to Jesus, from Genesis 1 to the very end of Revelations. Everything points to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. If we desire God, we must have Jesus. If we desire heaven, we must have Jesus. If we desire to live with purity and overcoming power, we must have Jesus. If we want peace and abundant life, we must have Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Everything points back to one person, the I am. Jesus is the only one we need. But if I can add to this little mini Bible study on oneness, this same John that wrote the book of John, he writes another book later in the Bible. How many people know what the name of that is? Starts with an R, and it's not Romans. It's what, Sister Jessica? It's Revelation. So when you open your Bible, everybody, if you have a Bible, open it up here. We're going to have a little test here. To Revelations, first chapter. This is hard to do with a Band-Aid on. Okay, what does it say when you open up your Bible? If you have a paper Bible, what is it called? What's the book called? What does it say? The revelation of who? Jesus Christ. See, you didn't even need to Google that one. You just read the Bible and don't skip the top page where it says the revelation of Jesus Christ and realize, oh, the book that John wrote that ended up at the end is called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. Not the revelation of the Holy Spirit, not the revelation of the Comforter or the Father. But in this book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ, he describes a vision that God gave to him. In 1:10, he's carried up, in chapter 1, verse 10, he's carried up and gets to heaven. And then in Revelation 4, verse 2, he enters the throne room of the almighty, all-powerful God. And let's read what it says. Immediately, I was in the Spirit, and there was a throne in heaven, and someone was seated on it. The one seated there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian stone. There's one person. There's one individual. There is one being sitting on the throne in heaven. That's what he sees. He gets to skip ahead and see that there's one person in heaven. There's not three. John had the revelation of Jesus Christ as the one on the throne, the all-powerful, almighty God. One of the ways that we know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life is because he is the only one on the throne. It's not, hey, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, but when you get to heaven, it's going to be somebody else, so maybe it's not really important to follow Jesus' way, or maybe everything he said isn't truth because there might be a different or higher or better truth when you get up there, it's a different. No, Jesus is on the throne. Jesus is the only source for everything that we need. We're going to take it one step further. Colossians 2, 6 through 9 says this. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, you've received him, you've recognized that Jesus is Lord in your life, continue to walk in him, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Let's just take a break on the verse here. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Do you notice it doesn't say, can we go back a verse, Sister Raquel? So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, you are complete and done, and you have reached the pinnacle, and you will be in heaven, and you are holy. It does not say that. It says, you have received him as Lord, and then my paraphrase is, and then the real relationship starts. You just got introduced to him. Now you're going to walk with him. You're going to continue to live in him. The next verse, you're going to be rooted. Take some time for some roots to grow. You're going to be built up. Notice it says roots and then built, right? That's a separate lesson there. And established in the faith. It's okay if you just start believing in God. You just have received the Holy Ghost. And there's like, wow, my faith, it's okay. Our faith grows. Our faith, we get to be rooted in God. It's a journey. It's not a destination. Sorry. Okay, keep going on. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith just as you were taught and overflowing with gratitude, be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elements of the world rather than Christ. Don't get caught up in all these other ideas. Jesus is what matters. Jesus is what matters. Being with Jesus is what matters. Following Jesus is what matters. Being in a place with Jesus is what matters. And then it says, for the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. Everything that makes up God is in Jesus. In him, the King James says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everything we need is in Jesus. He's the only one. And so we go back after our mini oneness Bible study. We go back to our John chapter 14. We go back to verse 6. And you can leave that one up there for a little bit, Sister Raquel. John chapter 14, chapter 6, verse 6. Where it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way. He's telling us, I am the way. And so there's a couple different ways to look at way. In this verse, way can be, it's like a road or a path or a journey, right? So he's revealing himself as the correct road to follow. I am the road you get on, right? His life, he's saying, is a roadmap or a way of doing things. We talked about this last year. What he's doing, we can do. It's almost like he's walking, and we just have to look for those same footprints and be like, okay, I'm going to walk the same way he's walking. When he did this, I can do this. Now, I know none of you have sandals and are living in the Middle East, but maybe, just maybe, we see how Jesus handled hurt in his life. And he took the hurt step. It's like, yeah, but, oh, that's not right, Peter. I need to handle hurt this way. No, if he is the way, we handle it the same way he did. We bless them that curse us. We pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. Those that want to hang us on a cross after they beat us, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. That's following the path that he has set forward. The steps that he has made. It's not just his words, though those are important. It's also his actions. And he told his disciples and he told us to follow him. He didn't say, listen to me. He did. You get what I'm saying. He said, follow me. Following is more important because he's saying, do what I do. Walk in my steps. Listen to my word, but follow it. In Acts, we talked last year about how early on, the Christians were called followers of the way. I wish that would have stuck more. I think that's really cool. Even Paul, he's out there just, or Saul, he's out there just persecuting Christians. He's tallying them up. Look, I got 1,000 this week, 400 this week. Like, Paul was out, he was one of the best Christian killers out there. And when he talked about these people he was out there trying to kill, he's like, I got to get them followers of the way. Those people following the way, I got to find them. That's the phraseology he used. He said, any of this way, any that are doing it this way, anybody that keep taking the same steps as Jesus, I'm going to take them out because I am a good Christian. We forget that Saul was a Christian. He was the spiritually elite. He knew what was up, but he didn't. Followers of the way is used 6 times in Acts to describe those people that were following Jesus' way of doing things. Following and belonging to the way is the same as following and belonging to Jesus. If we say, I'm a member of the way, that's the same as saying, I am a member of Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I'm following Jesus. So Jesus is both the direction we walk and also the road we walk. Do you see the nuance there? He's both the direction we walk and the road we walk. I want to go to Milwaukee. I'm going to head east. And I'm going to take Highway 94. I mean, I could. Have you ever tried taking all the back roads? You like jump down and you take B to Lake Mills. And you like, you can get there on a different road. And you can even be heading the same direction towards Milwaukee. You're heading east. But Jesus is the direction and the road. He's our path, our focus. He's our guidance. He's the only way to live this life. And as I've said so many times, his way is a little different. His way requires faith, but his way brings joy and happiness and peace. It just doesn't feel like it in the moment when you're looking there and you're all out on a ledge doing something crazy. Everybody's like, what's this person doing? Hey, I'm just following the way. Yeah, but the way doesn't make sense. I know. I'm just going to keep following it. Yeah, but you're not a perfect Christian. I know, but I'm being rooted and built up, and my faith is being established because I am following the way. It is in following the way that we are built up and rooted and established in the faith, that we continue. That's why we don't talk about our relationship with God as this event. We don't talk about our relationship with God as this destination. We talk about it as a walk with God. Jesus is the only truth. John 1, verse 14 and verse 17. This is John again. He goes, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John starts out by saying Jesus is full of truth. He's full of grace and truth. But then in verse 17, it says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So that's why he can say, I am the way and I am the truth. Truth comes through me. Jesus is saying, I am with you. I will be in you. I am the Spirit of truth. Trust my Spirit. So, sorry, I got ahead of myself. John 14, 17, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. This, remember we read this earlier? To be with you forever, this counselor, who is he? The Spirit of truth. That's me. I'm coming to you. I'm the Spirit of truth when I come into your heart. He's saying, I'm with you. I will be in you. I am the Spirit of truth. Trust my Spirit. Trust my voice that's living inside of you. What does this look like? When we think something, we can check it against God and his word. When we are told something, we can check it against God and his word. When we feel something, because that's more important. Actually, feeling is the most important, I really think. It doesn't matter what you hear. No, I'm just joking. It doesn't matter what you feel. When you feel something, especially when you feel something, check it against God and his word. That's how strongholds happen of fear and anxiety. Those are real things. I would never diminish them, but they happen because they start as little thoughts, and we just feed them. Yeah, I believe that. I was watching I like watching football, right? And I was watching some behind the scenes stuff about, and this wide receiver that I like, he was before the game and he was a little bit injured, and he was like, "I am good. I am strong. My shoulder's going to be fine." And he was talking to the camera. He's like, "You got to speak truth into it." He's like, "Because if I start believing it's bad, it's just going to keep getting worse." He's like, "So I just believe in the power." This guy's not nowhere near a Christian that I'm aware of, right? But the concept and the principle is true. God has made us that way. Our bodies can actually, we can feed these negativities and they will grow. The devil doesn't need to do a whole lot in your life. He's just got to whisper a few things and you can take over from there and start believing them and acting on them and keep saying them to yourself. Yeah, I am a loser. And so when we think something, we check it against God's word. When we're told something, we check it against God's word. When we feel something, we check it against God's word. Because heaven and earth will pass away, but his word remains forever. It doesn't pass away. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is truth, and he does not change. In a world of swirling voices, how can you know what truth is? Well, what we're being told is when in doubt, go to Jesus, because he, go to Jesus and his word, because he is truth. He said, "My word is truth." And so when you're thinking weird things and being told weird things and feeling weird things, let's check it against God and his word. And then when what you read in the word doesn't align with what you're feeling in your heart, follow the way of Jesus. Even when it doesn't make sense, we follow the way of Jesus. There's a word for that. It's called faith. Faith. I don't know how this is going to work, but I sure hope it's going to work out the way God said. And so I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to follow his way of doing things because I believe his way and he is truth. Lastly, Jesus is the only life. Genesis revealed God as the only source of life. He said, God is the creator, right? But now Jesus is saying, "I am life. I am the ultimate source of existence." Once again, another opportunity for oneness. Jesus is saying, "I am God. I am the creator. All existence comes through me." John 1 verse 4, same John, right? We're just jumping all around his book. John 1 verse 4, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." This is how John decides to start his Bible, right? He talks about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then in verse 14, we read that, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth." So he's saying, in him was life, and then later John says, and he's full of truth. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 3, verse 15 to 16. Now remember, John 3, Jesus is meeting with Nicodemus, a very well-learned Jew leader, rabbi at the time, Jewish leader and rabbi at the time. And he gets to John chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. It says in verse 15, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Anyone who believes on Jesus will have life. They will have everlasting life. John 6, verse 47, "Truly I tell you, anyone who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life." I don't know if we've done that one yet, but he's saying, "I am life." John 6, 63, "The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." Your fleshly way of doing things, that sounds really bad, but your choices based on your experiences and your feelings do not bring life. Your following the way brings life. Your following the truth brings life. That's what Jesus is telling. And in John 11, 25, to put a stamp on this, it says, "Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everything that it means to be alive, including our actions, our thoughts, our relationships, our motivations, and much more, we must find in Jesus Christ. He is our life. Our new life, this path of being rooted and built up and established in the faith, this journey we have in our getting to know Jesus, doesn't change our circumstances. It changes how I view my circumstances. It changes how I respond to my circumstances. It changes how I am impacted by my circumstances. Let's all stand this morning. There's so many more verses we could have had in this Bible study. But what we're recognizing here is that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life. And he wasn't just saying that to 12 men or a group of people back then. He's saying that to every one of you right now. I don't know. He's saying, he does know, but I don't know what situation you're in. But follow me. Just take the steps I take. Do what I'm telling you to do. Oh, but I'm hearing all these voices. Yep, trust the truth of my word. I'm truth. Yeah, but that one doesn't make, I'm truth. I can just hear him. It's almost like the Bible says he's a counselor, right? I can almost just imagine sitting in a chair in a therapy session across from Jesus. He's like, but God just, I'm the way. No, but it's just, Peter, I'm the way. I'm the way. Oh, but I'm thinking this and I feel this. And Brother Seth told me, he said this about me. Just, I'm the truth. Peter, I can just imagine him in my mind. Just the calmness. No, I'm the truth. I'm the truth. But, you know, I'm just trying to get to heaven. No, don't focus on heaven. Just, I'm the life. I'm the life, the everlasting life. Like, Peter, it's okay. Like, just lean on me. Follow me. Be with me. And when I hear his voice saying it that way, it's more encouraging. And it's more personal. It's not him talking to 12 people. It's him talking to me. Peter, I'm the way. But Jesus, these situations, I know. I got you. I'm the way. Just keep going the way that I've shown you. I've got you. Let's pray this morning. I don't know what situations we're all in. We're all in situations. I know it because it's life, right? God doesn't remove our circumstances. But maybe this morning he's just trying to remind you that, like, I am the way. I've got this. I am the truth. Trust in me. I am the life. It's going to be okay. Let's pray this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for who you are. God, you are the center of everything. Jesus, you are our creator. You are the I am. You are our Father who cares about us. You are the Spirit that counsels us and comforts us in our time of need. God, you teach us the things we need to know. God, you are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. God, Lord, help us to see you as such. Help us to follow you that way. Help us to trust that you are truth, God. God, I pray that you would speak into the heart of every person here, God. Open their eyes to see who you are in their lives, that you are and you will be the almighty, all-powerful God who still cares about them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Find somebody to shake hands. And if you have your kids in the teachings on the Sunday school on the other side, make sure to pick them up. God bless.